that is, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And then four, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I do pray that each one of us tonight will get a little closer to the Lord, and that we'll get one step further in our boldness and confidence, so that we can say the same things as he, and really, really mean that. So chapter 1, verse 19, Paul goes on, "For I know that this," speaking of his chains, his imprisonment, "I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Verse 19, Paul, he really relied on the prayers of those saints. He knew the need for prayer in his situation and in all of life. And he also knew the power of prayer. And he knew that God moves when people pray. Do you know that tonight? That when you pray, God moves. He wants to answer our prayers. Somebody said, "When I pray, things happen. And when I don't, they don't." And that is the truth. Do we realize that? That prayer is a need. It shows our dependence on the Lord, and there's power in prayer. Now, this really stirred my heart, because the Lord has been really stirring my heart in prayer for a while now, but I'm going to move on. It's very hard for me to move on, but I'm going to move on, because that's not the lesson for tonight. Although I hope the Lord just begins stirring your hearts in this area of prayer too. So Paul relied on their prayers, but he also relied on the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I like that. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is called by many different names in the Bible. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I know that the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ will get me through this. Paul knew the Lord would supply, he would provide, he would equip him in whatever his need was. He was confident in that. And the power of the Holy Spirit is very real. He gives us what we need when we need it, not before we need it. We want it before we need it. If we're looking ahead at something tomorrow or the next day, and we get a little anxious, we're wanting that power and that strength and everything. It's not going to happen. He gives it to us when we need it. Paul was confident in that. And are you confident in that? Do you know that the Lord is for you, and the power of his Holy Spirit, it's real. It is real in our lives and in us. And he wants to do great and mighty things in us. And he gives us what we need through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And again, my heart was very stirred toward that, but I'm going to move on, because that's for another time too. think my heart is just really stirred right now on lots of things. Paul was confident that he would be delivered from this prison one way or the other. Total confidence, total peace. One way or the other. He would either be delivered or freed from this prison. You know, the chains let go, the door opened, the pardon to go out and preach the gospel once again, to make disciples of Jesus, or he would be delivered from prison and ushered into heaven. He knew one way or the other, he would be delivered. So he could rest. He could rest in that. Why fret when you're in prison and you're chained up, when you know I'm going to be delivered? They're either going to kill me and I'm going to heaven, or they're going to let me go and I can go do what God wants me to do. I love his thinking toward death. To die is gain. And I also have always loved and appreciated when Damien does a memorial service, how he explains death and that it is a butler. Death comes in and moves us from one room into the other. He just moves us from this life into eternal life. From this old tent, why would we want to keep it anyway? And into the glory of the Lord with our new bodies. In death, this corruption puts on incorruption. And in death, this mortal puts on immortality. And then we are face to face with Jesus. And what peace is there? The world doesn't have that peace. The world has a fear of death. But for a Christian, you can be in prison. You can be in the worst possible situation and have complete peace. What's the worst they could do? Kill me? I get to go be with Jesus. I get to be face to face. Now, he had a dilemma about what to do here, or what he wanted. His heart's desire, he said, was to go to heaven to be with Christ. I mean, that's where we're all headed. Let's just get there sooner. He just wanted to be with Jesus. But then he thought about it. He thought, well, you know, there's fruit from my life. There are people that need me. I know God has used me. And so if I stick around here, it's probably going to be better for other people. But if I go to heaven, boy, that's going to be great for me. Boy, I don't know. Of course, it's not his decision. He again rested in the Lord. Paul knew that his days were numbered, just like ours are. They're numbered. We are not going to get to heaven one second earlier than God has foreordained and has our life in his hand. And we're not going to get to heaven one second later. No early, no later. Right where and when he wants us to go. When our ministry is over. And God knew Paul's ministry at that time was not over. He still had plans for him. Paul didn't know that. How do you know that? We, none of us know that. But when it's time to go, then we don't want to be here any longer at all. And there's such peace in that. Such peace as a Christian that nobody else has. How can they? How can they? We get to just walk in that freedom and that free from fear. That free from the fear of death. That we are going to be face to face with Jesus. And it will be time. It will be time. So he didn't know what the Lord had for him. So he just waited. And he trusted. His life was not his focus. And his death was not his focus. He did not sit in that prison figuring out ways to get out of this situation. I've got to get out there and I've got to do this and I got to do that. Or he didn't sit there and worry about death or sit there and just do nothing. His focus was on Jesus. Either way, Christ would be magnified through his life. Either way. Wouldn't you like to be in that place where your life isn't your focus, where the fear of death isn't your focus, but Jesus is your focus? What peace is there in that? It's just perfect, wonderful peace to be able to rest in that. I've just been thinking about it. It's just, wow. He wasn't focused on anything but Jesus. And that he would be magnified one way or another. He's either going to be magnified in my life as he takes me out to continue to serve him, or he's going to be magnified in my life through my death. One way or another, he will be magnified. Why? Because for Paul, as he said, for to me to live is Christ. Period. That is the reason I live, Paul said. Now that word live, it means exist, it means survive, it means breathe, it means reside, have your home in, to dwell. For to me, to breathe is Christ. For to me, to reside, to settle down in, it's Christ. For to me, to survive is Christ. He breathed Jesus. He woke up to Jesus with Jesus on his mind every morning. All day long, Jesus was on his mind. He had his mind on what was Jesus's, his kingdom, his work, what he had for him that day. And then he went to bed at night with Jesus on his mind. His life was all about Jesus. And it didn't matter if he got out of prison or not. That didn't matter. Didn't matter one way or the other, because it was all about Jesus. You know, I think about that. I read that. I meditate. I've been praying about that, talking to the Lord about that. Lord, I want to eat, breathe, think, walk, talk, stand, sit, sleep, be awake, Jesus, all the time. I don't want my life to be my focus. I don't want this world to be my focus. I don't want anything, worry or anything, to be my focus. I want to be Jesus. For to me to live is Christ. All about Jesus. Our lives, that's what they're for. Do we know that? And for thy pleasure, they were and are created. Whose pleasure? God's pleasure. He created his people, he created all people, for his pleasure. Not so we could live our own lives the way that we want to. Not for our pleasure. Oh, and how often through the day is it all about me? All about what I want to do. All about what will make me happy and content and not stressed out and feel good and all of that. All about me. But it's not. It's all about Jesus. We were created for one reason, and that is to bring him pleasure. And we bring him pleasure by doing his will, by following hard after him. We weren't created, again, for our pleasure, to do what we want to do. And we weren't created for other people and their pleasure, for us to do what they want us to do. His pleasure tells us in Ephesians that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Again, why are we created? For His good pleasure, for good works that He has planned out for our lives, that He wants us to fulfill, because it's pleasing the heart of God when we do that. Not for our pleasure, but for His. Him and His purposes alone. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his own soul? If anyone desires to come after me, let him pick up his cross, deny himself, and follow Jesus." That's our life as a Christian. Do we remember? That is our life. When we gave our lives to the Lord, we were placing our lives in His hands for us to do His will, for His good pleasure. And a lot of times, sadly, the longer we walk with the Lord, we start taking our life back little by little, and we start doing those things that we want to do, because we're very mature in the Lord. We have a lot of knowledge. We know the Bible. We've been to all the Bible studies, so we know all that. We've been to church so many years. It's okay now if I start taking my life back a little bit. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. It isn't. We're to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Jesus, to live for Him. What is the cost in your life to carry the cross? Have you thought about that? What does it cost you? Or what should it cost you to carry that cross? What do you have to lay down? Yourself? Your family? Things, possessions, position, fashion, sports, recreation, pleasure, self. It's all self. All self. All those things are fine. We know they're fine. And you know I'm not saying you can't do any of that. But what are we holding in our hand that is keeping us from taking up that cross? What are we holding in our hand that we are not denying ourselves, and that is preventing us from saying, "For to me to live is Christ"? Are you willing to pay the price to lay down your life? You know, these are, you know, this might be probably a little heavy for everybody, but it's very biblical. These are questions that we need to ask ourselves, to reevaluate ourselves from time to time in the Lord. Lord, what is it? What have I kind of taken on or taken back that's weighing me down, that I'm not willing to deny? Because I'm grown in the Lord and I'm so mature now, I can handle all these things. Really? Really? We need to pick up the cross of Christ and live for Him. It needs to be a desire, a longing in our heart. It needs to be our passionate pursuit. Something has us. Something has us. Every single one of us, every single person in this world, something has our heart, has our passion, has our, just that little pull on us that we live for, would not want to live without. Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? I want it to be Jesus in my life. You know, Paul, he makes this statement toward the end of his life. He's not yet going to die. He has a few years left after he wrote this. He probably would not have said that or been able to say it with truth right when he came to know the Lord, just like none of us could. It might have been a prayer and our heart's desire. But if we want to be honest, I don't think so. I mean, we're still so attached to the things of this world. And you're a brand new Christian. I mean, you just don't even know. But you walk with the Lord and he takes you to deep places and you grow in him. And all those attachments are being let loose so that we can grow into that place to say and truly mean to me to live as Christ. And to die is gain. So I'm not saying these things so we can go beat ourselves up. Well, she said that I'm supposed to do that and I don't do it. You know, that gets us nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. That's just condemnation. And you just got to push through that. If there's conviction, don't ignore that. Don't ignore it. You know, the Lord is speaking that to our hearts. My heart. In our hearts tonight. You know he's whispering to you. He's already flipped through that little file in your mind of those things that maybe you're holding on to and don't want to deny yourself in. But make it your aim. Make it your passionate pursuit. Do whatever you have to do to live that, to obey that, make it your prayer. Whatever it takes to deny yourself. You know, are we even willing to do that? I don't know. To deny ourselves so that we eat, we breathe, we talk, we walk, we sleep, we wake, we stand, we sit, Jesus. That it's our lives are consumed with Jesus. What else is there in this life? What else is there? I mean, this is why I came to the Lord. Because I just sat there and I looked at the world and I just thought, is this it? I mean, if this is it, forget it. Forget it. Get me out of here right now. What was the point? So you can have a little fun here and a little fun there. Whoopee-doo. And that drove me to Christ. So he could be my life. He has filled all those empty spots in my life. He's given me hope. He's given me purpose. A reason to live. And I want to follow hard after him. And I look around in this world, you know, and I am not I'm not political. I'm not a news addict. I don't even know what's going on in the world, but I know what I know and I know what I see. And we are living in the last days. It is getting so bad and so bad in the body of Christ, too, out there. This lackadaisical attitude and living your life the way you want and starting to take back things that you said, no, I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be found living for Christ and him alone when he comes. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you want your heart to be right where it's supposed to be? And that you are pouring all of your time, all of your resources, everything you've got into Jesus, into what pleases him, into his kingdom, into his work. And however that translates in your life, whatever ministry he has for you in your own life, in sharing him and sharing his love and working outside of your home and being salt and light, or ministering to family, or you know, or church, whatever that is to you. Don't you want to be found doing what pleases Him? Don't you want Christ to be magnified in your body, in your life, and then through your death? That's what we live for as Christians. And we forget that. We just forget. We just go on and be a Christian and just kind of do our thing. Well, you know what? It's time to just stop doing that. And I am not pointing my finger at anybody. You guys are the best women around. I love you. I love your commitment to the Lord, your walks with the Lord. But we can always take another step closer to Jesus, and we can always be more passionate and more bold and more confident in our walks with Him, so that we can rise up and say to this very dark world and to carnal Christians, for to me, to live is Christ. It is all about Him, not about you, not about me, not about anything. It is all about Him. And this is the way I choose to live my life. And I am not going to stop. I am going to continue on. Don't you want that to be your life? Don't you want to be able to stand with Paul right now? Don't wait till you're 65, 85 years old or at death's door. Now, today, and to just say, yes, for to me to live is Christ, and may God be magnified in my life. And Jesus, that is my heart's cry, and I know it is the cry of my sister's hearts. And Lord, our flesh does not like to hear this stuff. Oh, we just want to live for ourselves, and we want to have our toys and do our things and not be so radical and not be so obsessed. But Lord, you want us to be obsessed with you. You want us to be passionate for you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would reach deep down into my heart and into my sister's hearts, and you would start cleaning them and plucking up and getting rid of stuff and refining and softening us and getting our attention once again and saying, yes, Jesus, yes. What do you want me to do today? How do you want me to live for you today? So that, Lord, if we are ever find ourselves in chains, that's not going to be our focus. You are going to be our focus. I pray that we would have the boldness and the confidence that the Apostle Paul had. We can rise in any situation because it's you, Lord. It's all you in our lives. And so, Lord, I pray that these things that you've spoken to us, that they would find a permanent place in our hearts. Just sift through and help everything settle right where it's supposed to be, and continue that work, Lord. Help us to look to you, cling to you, praise you, and magnify you in our lives. And Father, I pray that you would bless my sisters as they go into their discussion groups. I pray it would be iron sharpening iron tonight in their non-stop talk about you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. and we will see you Saturday.